In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so Christmas Day itself is now past. In the midst of all that busyness, we stepped into the mystery and wonder of it, not quite understanding it all, but knowing that there was something in all of it about love and hope, and a journey, a pilgrimage in which God comes to us and journeys with us. And in all of that, we encountered the paradox of Christ yet again, that Christ, the eternal Word, whose awesome presence lies at the heart of the cosmos, also lay in Mary's arms with his tiny heart beating away. Yes, Christmas Day is past, but not the Christmas season, for we have now entered 12 days of the season, rich with symbolism, but also dark themes and dark memories. Today we have what is sometimes called Holy Innocents Day, the commemoration of King Herod's shocking slaughter of all baby boys under 2 years old because of his terrified reaction to the news from the Magi, the three wise men, that a new king had been born in Bethlehem. So that is today. There is also at this time the commemoration of St. Stephen, the deacon martyr, who Paul, well, before he became Paul, encouraged that he be stoned to death. And what is tomorrow? The commemoration of Thomas Becket, the Archbishop murdered by four knights in Canterbury Cathedral in 1170. So straight after all the wonder of Christ's birth, we are yet again confronted with the violence, the evil, the abuse of power in the world. And yes, today, and I can barely say it, the inexplicable murder of children. Our faith can often feel like quite a messy one, can't it? A messy religion. You know, not all light. But it is also one where we can have the courage to suggest that God is with us, Emmanuel, even in the darkest of times. Now Matthew, the gospel writer, whose gospel I just read, writes the story of the early days of Jesus so that we can feel like participant observers. And we are looking on from the perspective of Joseph, not Mary, like Luke's gospel, but Joseph. And a week ago, we read about and shared in the terrible dilemma facing Joseph as he becomes aware that Mary is pregnant. Well, who is this Joseph? He is descended from David, King David, who wrote a number of Psalms. But Joseph is also a very ordinary person. He's not a successful politician or a businessman, but he's been chosen by God to care for Jesus and name him. But he's a tradesperson with his own doubts and questions, and he needs angelic guidance to do the right thing in accordance with God's plan. It's interesting that Joseph is a silent man right through the story, but but also a man who dreams and listens. Now, God risks a lot with Joseph. God took the risk that a very human Joseph would be able to get past how betrayed he felt when he first heard the news of Mary's pregnancy and thought she must have been unfaithful to him. God had to trust that Joseph could set aside his own doubts and pride and step into a role, a life, which would begin in a way he had not yet dreamed of. And God's trust was rewarded when Joseph responded after a visit from an angel of God calmed him down. So that was all in the past, in a sense. But what do we have today? We have another episode in the life of Joseph centered around the impact of Jesus' birth on the political climate of the time. So for Joseph, there is another dream, more angelic guidance, and as Matthew does, more quoting from the Hebrew scriptures to tie all this into God's plan, God's salvation plan. Matthew is influenced by the understanding of Jesus as the fulfillment of hopes and promises in the Hebrew scriptures, and he often quotes from them, as he does three times in the reading today. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises God had made over the centuries about a child who would lead all people, whoever they were, out of darkness into glorious light. So what happens now in our story? Well, Joseph is warned of danger and instructed to take his little family and flee to Egypt. Why? Because behind the scenes, King Herod, the Jewish king who rules at Rome's pleasure, is in a narcissistic rage and making murderous plans. Like many leaders, or some anyway, who consider they are entitled to hold on to power as long as they like, Herod is terrified that he will be replaced by another king. He's heard from the Magi about a child born to be king, and Herod, having already murdered three of his sons who were his heirs, cannot let this happen. Power has gone to his head. And in what has been called one of the most terrible stories in the Bible, we have a story in which we hear the weeping of mothers of children who have been slaughtered by a ruler who is so fearful that he will be usurped. Well, again, Joseph is responsive to the message from God, and the family departs as refugees from Israel, seeking asylum in Egypt. Amazing, isn't it? The saviour of the world becomes a refugee. Egypt is the country from which long ago the people of Israel had been saved through the hand of God, led by Moses. There is that story, the Exodus story, in our Old Testament or Hebrew scriptures. And indeed, we know from refugee families' experiences these days what a miserable experience it can be. Now, we do not know how long the little family stayed in Egypt. We're not told that. But at some point, maybe it wasn't all that long, King Herod died. So Joseph, listening again, then received another message from an angel of the Lord, advising it was safe to return to Israel. And finally, the family ends up in Nazareth. Joseph, always responsive. So at the end of this early part of the Jesus story, there is hope. And those who heard Matthew's story at the time, read, or they, like we did before, they would have known that that passage from Jeremiah that's embedded there in the Matthew Gospel today, the wailing of the mothers, that if you read the next few verses in Jeremiah, becomes one of hope. Because actually Jeremiah was not referring to murder, but to exile. And so that hope emerges in the passage when the prophet Jeremiah goes on to say, "Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, says the Lord. There is hope for your future. Your children shall come back to their own country." So hope indeed. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is God's son? Not merely because of the curious birth he had, but because he has cast in his lot with the marginal and the displaced. Into a land where despots rule, this true king comes, not to replace them with a better version of what it is to be a violent, cruel leader, but to share in the plight of his people. Now, perhaps we wouldn't bother reading the gospel if we just saw it as an historical account. We can read about it now also because there is a message for us about the future of the church and the world. Yes, the world is full of weeping mothers and fathers and children who cannot be comforted. Where is God? Well, as the reading from the prophet Isaiah today says, God became their saviour in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days. So are any among us, or any we know, distressed, aware of great loss, feeling uncomforted? Can we and they hear the message of hope? Joseph listened to God's word to him and journeyed on in faith and hope. And always, always, we can indeed journey in hope. For God, Emmanuel, God with us, is continuously not only coming towards us, but also with us, carrying us in arms of love, lifting us up high, never abandoning us. Amen.